Hey dog.
Hey.
This ain't for you, dog.
Okay. No, oh, whoa, I'm a little loud.
You're loud.
You're good.
Loud?
You're perfect.
Sure, okay.
Bitch, I know you're about to get your period, but ain't no reason for you to be so snuggly. Oh my god.
Why you like this?
Why you be like this? Don't step on the record. You love to fuck shit up. Okay, welcome to RIP, Jordan Jensen. We're Jordan. Here with the kid, the ultimate, the father of Coyote, the road dog, the son of Sam, the Irish Jew, the Puerto Rican Jew, who seems really, really Irish, and it's shocking he's not. Coyote, no!
Okay. Hello, it's good to be here at your apartment.
Yeah, you came in, I was fully in bed. And then you had to wait. You had to go buy eggs. I got the setup.
And you cooked them with sprouts, which I've never seen that.
That was
before.
Crazy. That was crazy. I did that. It's the only thing I had in the fridge.
Yeah.
I need to figure out how to cook. I need to figure out just to put a salmon. I need to get an air fryer.
You're putting the cart before the horse.
Salmon is before the horse.
Learn how to make eggs without putting sprouts in them in the wrong place first before you get an air fryer.
They were in. I just needed it in there.
Were they good?
Well, it almost simulated like a cheese stretch. No. The stretch.
Maybe work on that palette. Yeah. That makes no sense. Yeah.
I just don't have time to do anything. Look at my home. Yeah, it's in disarray.
No, it is. It's not too bad. But your friend was supposed to clean. They didn't clean.
That's true.
So, it's not all on you.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. But you should just get a cleaning lady.
Where?
I don't know.
Tu madre?
My mom? No. She's got enough. Are you cleaning now? It's not on camera. Is it on camera?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, I just that is a big part of this of my problem.
Is just well, I had that because I live with my grandfather famously, and the apartment is very chaotic. Not as much anymore, but I did have like a mental breakdown because I think when you live in chaos. Then it projects out to the rest of your life.
Yeah, I do remember.
So, like, my apartment was going crazy, so then I was going crazy, and I was in the depressed sesh for, like, basically over a year.
I feel fine. I don't mind living in chaos. It's just, like...
Nah, you're...
It only takes me, like, 4 minutes to clean it up because it's so small. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I drug out, like, 6 bags of clothes. It was great. But there are things that stress me out, like those curtains I haven't returned.
Right. Your kitchen stresses me out a lot.
Where?
Just the general layout.
The layout is too tight.
Yeah, yeah. It's tight and there's a lot going on in there.
There's nothing I can do.
I know.
It's too tight.
It's tight. It's tight.
It's tight.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to...
But I'm saying I do think... It's like you've learned to live with chaos.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's good. You would still feel better if it was
I can't make the kitchen less tight.
I think you can.
How?
Container store?
There's no stuff in containers in there.
I know, but you could get like a more like, you just got that shit out. Like if you had like an actual organized compartment thing.
It's organized.
Nah.
Go look in there.
I looked in there.
What would you do?
I could draw it out by memory because I'm scarred every time I walk in there.
It's fine. There's a little rack thing that has my electrolytes and shit on it.
Yeah, the rack's good.
The rack's fine.
But you need more of that type of stuff. Like the other day, you were putting stuff in cabinets.
Yeah.
And you put a jar in, and you couldn't even close the cabinet.
But you were here when I organized all that, and now it's better. Go look. Go look in there. Go look. Go tell me what the problem is. Don't look at the dishes. Don't look at those.
I think.
Don't look in the fridge either.
It's just. Nothing makes sense in here.
That's because everything I eat is protein powder. There's just no food.
You got like files next to protein powder. There's like stacks of paper next to it.
Yeah,
I'm
what's that? Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's crazy.
All right, that's true. That's true. That's a really good point. Yeah. Okay.
But
all right, I hear you.
But I think like this room's good though. like it's just tight, but like everything's like organized well, and it looks like you had a plan. You know what I mean?
But I just have too much. It's not even too much stuff. I just need a bigger place. And then I had to say, I had to choose. Do you want to buy a house in the country, or do you want a big ass apartment in New York? And I chose a house.
Well, the house is good.
Thanks.
Because I think we're similar in this way. I think New York is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it's, you need to escape. It's nice to have an escape place.
I need to escape, and I don't mind living in a little sleep pod here because of how, I mean, we leave so much. We go to the park. You're the coyote. Get out of there. I don't know what you're doing in the camera bag. But that is to bring us to our dynamic.
Yeah.
I went on the road with, I brought somebody else on the road.
Yeah.
And within that time frame, I tried to rent a car, realized I didn't have a license. The dog shit everywhere. I couldn't get into the hotel, and I couldn't figure out what the club was, all in one weekend. And I did realize that I've become incredibly dependent on you.
Interesting. Well, I think I'm just a planner, like by nature.
I just think that you have the type of you have the other part of the brain I don't have.
Well, no, yeah, it's like I think it's like against my nature, but I'm naturally I've like built that up. And not to segue into what we're going to talk about, yeah. But like because
please segue.
Of
that's
porphyria, I like need to plan shit out to start my day or I'll end up getting lit up.
Getting literally lit up.
Literally lit up. So I need to like figure out, literally map my day. I'm looking at like sun rotations. I'm checking sundials.
No, you're not.
Well, yeah, like I'll know like on the drive to Baltimore.
Yeah.
I was like.
Wait, pause. Porphyria is a very, very, very rare skin condition where
No. I have a thing. It's called erythropoietic protoporphyria.
Why does it sound Puerto Rican?
Because I am Puerto Rican, baby. So it's basically a rare genetic disorder. It's like one in 100,000 about. So there's only a few thousand people that have it, I think. I don't know if that math's right. But basically what it is, I would tell people that I was allergic to the sun, which is not a good move to say because I grew up in a blue-collar Irish neighborhood, so people would just make fun of me for being allergic to the sun. It's very Jewy. It's
yeah.
Super Jewy.
That's really, really true.
But what it is it's a blood disorder, and so it's in this category of diseases called porphyrias, which trace back to, like, basically, like...
Coyote.
Coyote, chill.
Coyote's
I'm bearing my heart out here.
Coyote's obsessed with Jake. It's really disturbing.
And I love her.
Come up. You can come up and sit, but you can't just like talk.
But just to give a little history, the idea of like vampires is from the thing that I have because there was like I guess the nobility had there's cases of porphyria in like Eastern Europe, like Romania and stuff, which is like where vampires are from. So that it's
whoa.
A big thing. So that it was. But basically, what there's different types. Some could. Affect you in other ways and like gum recession fangs like that's but that's
no
not the
way
one I have. Yeah but the one I have is it is a buildup of this thing called protoporphyrins in the bloodstream when that comes from like sunlight
mm-hmm.
and then that reacts by like basically like burning it's like burning but like under your skin so it's not like my skin it's like under it
the what you described it is to me that fucked me up is you were like it's like simultaneously the most pain you've ever felt and itchy.
It could be painful. It's not always super painful. It's just incredibly uncomfortable. What's kind of funny is there's a season of the year where it's like I have allergies because it's the spring. Mosquitoes are out, so I'm getting bug bites, and I could get a sun reaction, and I'm just like all of them coming at once. But yeah, so basically. I have this thing called porphyria, but also, or whatever. That's the history of it. It's very rare. It sucks. It's a curse. I don't know what I did in a past life to deserve this, but for example, the drive to Baltimore, I'm like doing the math in my head. I'm like, okay, we're driving south. The sun's going to be coming from the south, so it will be affecting me on the drive.
And it did affect you. I had to drive.
And it did drive, and it did on the way down. And then the way up, I'm like, okay, we're leaving at this time. It's going to be behind us, so I should be fine in the car. So I'm always thinking about... So I think I've become a planner.
And this is like... The other thing is like, this is a fucking year or something of us working together and me being like, why do you have... Me like, classic Jordan just being completely insensitive and being like, you know what's crazy? your siblings are like tan, but you're like really pale, but you have really these really dark features. Right. But you're like, but how is that? You look like a cool vampire. And you're like,
yeah.
And then finally you told me because you had to.
Yeah.
Because we were like in the mountains and I'm like, let's go out for a hike. Let's do da 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 da. And you're like, okay, here's the thing. I have to wear these dumb clothes. Yeah, and I was okay, what? And then you told me and I felt like such an asshole.
No, I mean, I just don't tell people. Even this is...
Coyote, god damn it.
Even this is like anxiety. Really? Just because I don't really talk about it. And I think it is because I grew up in a blue-collar neighborhood in New York. Yeah. So I've never had a positive reaction to it. It's never been like I tell people and they're like, oh, man, I feel... You're probably like the first person I've ever told and like I had like a somewhat like...
How is that possible?
It's usually like, you fucking pussy. So like, I'm just like...
What about girlfriends? You've had girlfriends.
I've had girlfriends that, yeah, they understand. Like, but one of my exes was a nurse, and that was, like, nice, and she was, like, super understanding about it, and, like...
And sunscreen doesn't do it, because it's the...
No, actually, it's better to not wear sunscreen, because the best protection is a tan, so, like, sunscreen would prevent you from being a tan, and the thing is, I'm not going to be out in the sun for an extended period of time anyways, so I'm not going to, like, sunburn. So I used to have a roof deck in the Upper East Side, and I would, like, microdose sun. I would, like, go out every day and, like, slowly tan.
And that was the best thing for
you? That was the best. I was like, I need outdoor space for the rest of my life. Now I don't have it, but, like...
You do. You have entire Central Park.
Well, I have Central Park. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah.
Because if we're outside, it'll be, like... I mean, now I try and be respectful of it, but, like, even at the pool the other day, it was like all of us in the sun floating and you in the darkness. Come over here and say hello.
No, no, you didn't have to. I'm sorry.
No. It was good, but you were just at the other end, and then it was, like... Very, but the other thing is redheads do that too, so it's not like, you know what I mean, like one of my moms is like so fucking pale that if she touches the sun it's like skin cancer immediately,
right,
but it's like not, so it's not like crazy for somebody to be like, I want to be in the shade, but it is crazy when you think about like, oh no, I need it, must happen.
Yeah, well, like it's just fucked up. I think like I also like I hate because I had the people that I grew up with kind of making fun of it my whole life, and then slash my parents and like family being over like protective.
Oh, yeah.
When people are like even there's been times with you, like I'll go to the park with you,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, we want to hang in the shade, and in my head, even you're though like, that's a nice thing, I'm literally like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, totally.
It's like very annoying, but like which is something I probably do have to get over, but I'm 33 and I still haven't.
You do
it out.
Like, you do, because I get worried because I'm like, I do not want to be I don't want him to be walking in this, you know what I mean? I don't want you to be doing any accommodating because there have been times where you've tried to be accommodating and burnt the shit out of yourself, right?
Oh, yeah, but it used to be way worse. Like, now I'm pretty good at, like, because I'm just, like, old and don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, I need to get out.
Okay,
like,
good.
Safety.
Yeah.
But I used to be... especially because I was, like, self-conscious that my friends would make fun of me, I would just eat it. And there was that one time I ended up in the hospital, and I've shown you pictures, and that was really bad. And, like,
it
stuff
looks,
like that would happen a lot.
What does it look like? It looks like...
It literally looks like what would happen in a vampire movie.
It does look
like
that.
Yeah, it's really fucked.
It looks like your blood... It looks like you're bleeding under all your skin.
Yeah, it's, like, purple, basically.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really not great.
But it also gives you it does cause depression.
I get depressed because it makes you just feel, it like gives you an inferiority complex. Like it makes you just feel shitty about yourself because you can't do certain things. There's always like then I also have the thing, like we did a show once and this woman had Tourette's. And I asked her if she was going to have kids, and she was like, no, I don't want to, like, pass this on to kids. And it did depress me that day, because I was like, that's kind of how I feel sometimes about porphyria.
Would you pass it on?
I don't know, but there's a chance, so I'm like, maybe I just don't have children.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah, which is fucked up. And then, I don't know, there's a lot of things that will depress you, but then also sometimes, like...
You could also be depressed because you're not getting vitamin D.
That's also part of it.
Yeah.
That plays a role. Yeah, there's just... Also, then, recently, the big depression was I needed to get... So I have tinted windows. Not for porphyria, because I'm Puerto Rican. No, kidding. Yeah. But I have tinted windows, and I'm supposed to get a tinted window exemption. so my car could pass inspection, and Porphyria is one of the things you could get an exemption for.
Because it's illegal. I've had to rip off so many tinted windows.
So to get it, though, they made me, like, go to this clinic, this Porphyria clinic, and they do a bunch of tests on you, and it's like, I've been going here my whole life. Like, you guys know I have it. And it's like, just for me to be able to drive a car, you're making me feel like this lesser than person that, like, needs to get a bunch of tests run just so I could drive a car. It's like, you know, I have it. Just sign the thing. And luckily, I found the guy who was able to do it, but it just took so much time and effort, and it just made me super depressed.
Being it like, also, this is... you also, I've from knowing you, you get really angry with the with people taking advantage, like the healthcare system. You fucking and I understood why you hated it because I hate it too, but now I understand more. But like, anytime you're being conned into going to the doctor, you get furious.
Yeah, yeah. I have a bad relationship with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, therapy is something I probably should do, but it's like I'm just so out on doctors.
Yeah.
That I don't trust them.
Totally. Really. So which is fucked up. I feel the same way. When I have to get my Prozac, I have to go into my doctor so that he can make money, and I have to, like, go through the hell of fucking having somebody grab my body, weigh me, which sucks for me.
Yeah.
Like, go all the way to fucking, you know, and it's like, dude, you know I have bipolar. Just give me the fucking pills. You can't. And also, I'll go into withdrawal if you don't give them to me. So now I have to, like, change my, you know what I mean? Like, I have to go in. It's so whack.
No, it's just like a tax, and it seems, yeah, and I think anyone who has an issue could kind of, like, would resonate with, because it's just, like, you're forcing people to, like, it's what, you know, it's like just a good old-fashioned shakedown.
It is a good old-fashioned shakedown, and it's a good old-fashioned, like, just so you know, you wouldn't be shaken down if you were normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Which sucks.
If you were normal, you wouldn't even need the pills, and you wouldn't have to come in or whatever, and that's how I feel with this. But I don't need any medicine, luckily. I mean, well, it's lucky and unlucky. It's lucky in the sense that I don't need to do what you're doing. It's unlucky that there's
can't
no
fix
cure
it. Yeah,
there's
no
fix. But yeah, like, it's just, yeah, it's just kind of sucks. And there's also other implications with, like, the liver. Apparently, it, like, goes through your liver because it is a blood disorder. So then I get depressed sometimes when I drink because I'm like, I am killing myself right now.
Yeah.
Like, willingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It does it impact? Have you had your liver checked?
Yeah, I go less now, but I used to go every year. And there's been years, like, I was sober for 6 months because my liver enzymes were, like, super elevated. And I got scared. But for the most part, I think I'm all right.
Don't drink.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely chilled, but sometimes it's nice to think. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes sometimes it's worth the early exit, you know, for the enjoyment of life.
Oh, the early exit.
Yeah, like I'll kill my, I've like thought that through. I've made that decision.
You don't enjoy life that much, especially the next day after you drink. You're miserable.
No, binge drinking, sure. But there are moments where it's like, I just need a drink right now, and I think that would solve my anxiety or depression for the moment.
And it does?
In that moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just putting it off.
The next day, it's twofold, though.
It's just like mental health procrastination.
This is recording, right? Okay, good. Yeah, it took a long time for me to figure out what was bumming you out about it. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, I'm depressed. It's Porphyria stuff. And it took a while for me to figure out that it was like not an unfairness, but that you were like, I just have this thing forever and it's going to like impact the things that I do. But I think also one time we talked about it and it was like, I think you also did get fucking bullied to shit about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
so you don't look at it like the way I look at bipolar is I'm like, it's gay that I have to say I have it. But it's like, it is something that is almost like makes me a victim in my head. Like, I'm like, this is a thing I have. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like if you had borderline, like if I had borderline, I would be so depressed.
Right, right.
Which is like just as bad of a disorder. But it's like there's something about it that's like. Yeah, I don't know. It feels like it's like you can't, no matter what you do, you can't shake it. And it's just always something you have to live with or something like that. Like, that's the closest I can get to in my head of like when a doctor was like, you might have borderline once. I started like sobbing because I was like, that's not something you get rid of.
Right.
Whereas bipolar is something that you like just treat and it's good.
There's like a few reasons, I think. I think there's obviously the reason of just like childhood and growing up in a time/area with less sympathy.
Yeah.
And then, but also like I think there it's just incredibly rare. So there's no there's not like a community of people. Like with bipolar, you've probably met plenty of people who have bipolar. I've never met someone
going
through what I'm going through.
But what one of your siblings has a little.
They have a little, but mine's bad.
Which sucks. Which is almost worse.
It's bad.
Yeah.
That's one. And then the other thing is I think it's like what you said before. It's like, you know, like redheads, whatever, they deal with this too. So I think a lot of people, sometimes like now, I've been a little more open about it, and I have told some people, and I tell people, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's not that crazy, because like redheads, whatever.
Yeah.
So then it's like so quickly forgotten, and then people will be like, oh, do you want to go to the beach or whatever? And I just have to be like, no, because I'm not going to explain it every single time. And it's just yeah. like constantly just being reminded of the things you're missing out on is like.
Wow, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, because there's no like, and then someone was, I remember, I think, I forget it was, one of my friends that I told was like, I don't get why you're like so bothered by it. It's not a big deal. And I'm like, it's not a big deal to you, but like, and I don't think it is like the biggest deal maybe, but like, I know how it feels. Like if you could feel it, you would think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like you're like, it's not a big deal. You just like have to like avoid the sun. But I'm like, but yeah, you haven't been like on a hospital bed with like purple arms and like it does. But so in my head,
even without the purple arms, even without the purple arms, just the slightest sensation of it is enough to be like Donna the other day, one of my moms said that her palms itch because she has an allergy, and she's like, my palms itch every night. And I was like, that's like panic attack.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
horrifying.
Yeah, it's bad.
So like even just a light sensation of what you're dealing with is enough to not deal with it, because it's a fucking, it's a discomfort. It's like if you just, it's like if I was like, it's like I have poison ivy right now. It's like if you go in the sun, you're just going to get a little poison ivy. It's not
worth it. Yeah, sometimes more than others, but I've gotten good at like, obviously like just dealing with it.
Like what happened the other day when you were like, I got a little, what did it feel like?
In Baltimore?
Yeah, in Baltimore.
It was just my hand.
What did it feel like? Itchy? Weird?
I don't know how to explain. It'd be like kind of like a burn, like a light burn.
It's a light burn.
Yeah.
And then if it gets bad, it'll be really rough, or if you stop it in its place, it'll.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've been with my girlfriend or my ex when I do have it bad, and they'll ask what's wrong constantly because I'm so, like, restless at night.
Oh.
Because I'm constantly moving. Because, like, your arm might feel decent, but then it's, like, laying on, you know, creates heat when it's lying. So then it'll just start to really get bad, and then I got to roll over, and it's like every 2 minutes I'm rolling over.
Oh.
Or then if it's really bad, which I haven't gotten for a while, knock on wood, but if it's really bad, like when I was younger, I would have to go to the bathroom every like 2 minutes to like run cold water over.
Whoa.
So there's no sleeping.
Because it just starts heating up?
It's just so uncomfortable. And so like the cold is nice. It's nice.
It's but nice.
But the, like when I went to the hospital for it,
yeah,
I like didn't sleep for like a week.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't fall asleep.
Because it was
so
felt like you're on fire? Or
yeah,
felt
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really? It's just heat?
It was like a week of going to the bathroom every 3 minutes to put water on over my...
Why
that was like
just keep you in a
torture.
Tub?
It was absolute torture.
That is like a form of torture. I mean, that is like...
No, it's really bad. Yeah, yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It's worse than being tortured yeah. sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
And it just feels like heat.
Yeah,
extreme
I mean,
heat.
It could be... It's not really like itchy, like an allergy itch. It's more like burny. Bernie Sanders.
It's Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders.
Okay, it's not itchy. I thought it was itchy. I thought it got itchy.
It can be, but like, yeah, it's more just, it's just like itchy is wrong because I wouldn't scratch it. It doesn't like relieve me to scratch it.
It's just like shitty.
It's just shitty.
Wow.
It's just shitty. It really sucks.
And it sucks that you, there's, and if you met somebody else who was like, dude, I know the shitty feeling.
Well, I did do like a, Zoom with other people that have it once, because there was like a brief time where I was like, let me try to get more involved in this.
Yeah.
And it was cool to like meet some other people that have it. It was actually interesting because I am a big weed smoker.
Yeah.
And they unanimously were like, yeah, I just like smoke weed for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're like, that does help the most.
Because
it's weird why it helps. It helps because it distracts you.
Oh, okay.
From the, it's, it doesn't make it feel better. It
yeah,
just it helps
sense.
You think about other shit.
Yeah.
The best thing is Xanax. If you need to go to bed, because you can't fall asleep sometimes.
I mean, Xanax is the best
will
for
just
everything.
Knock you out.
Yeah.
And so I've been like really fucked from it before, and my friend would give me like a Klonopin or a Xanax, and I would just sleep for like 14 hours and feel a little better about it. Not like fully better, but better by the time I woke up.
Klonopin is the best drug ever made.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, I was mid the worst panic attack of my life when I was in Italy, and it was like we were stuck in this massive, overwhelming market of, I mean, it was like thousands of people slammed up, and we couldn't get out of the way, and it was like everybody was closing in, and I was with Mom and Taylor. And I was like, I just started having a panic attack, and I was about to faint in this huge like crowd. I think it's because I took a class called Calamities in high school that talked about stampedes and stuff of people.
Yeah.
And I just started having a panic attack. And as soon as we got out, my knees were like knocking. Like I couldn't stop shaking. And I took like half a Klonopin and was like, "What's up, bitch?
Yeah, stampede.
Let's
all
go
all
back.
Over.
Yeah,
use me as a rug.
It's unbelievable, but." I can't have it on me because I just end up taking it constantly.
Yeah. I went on a hike once with my friends and I took a couple weed edibles. So I was like having a panic attack. I was like, dude, I have altitude sickness. It's upstate New York. No altitude. And my friend gave me a Klonopin. I was like running through the trail.
Yeah.
It just like cured me immediately.
It's great.
Yeah. It's
whatever that's releasing. I don't know if it's dopamine or serotonin, but it is the thing.
No, it's the best drug ever.
It's the best drug
ever. Yeah. It's truly the best.
That's what Mulaney was addicted to? No. Peterson.
Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He had to go to rehab for Klonopin, and I totally get it.
I get it. I think it should be, though, but easier said than done, obviously, like a break in case of emergency drug. Like if I need to fall asleep, if you're going
I know, I have a half of one in that's break in case of emergency.
Yeah.
That's and it's buried away from me. It's deep. It's in case of a panic attack.
I was thinking about this with Adderall. It kind of applies to Klonopin, but it's like your friends who have those prescriptions are the biggest saints.
Oh yeah,
because they are like, I'll get addicted to this so that all of you could manage your addiction to it.
Yeah,
like
totally.
I'll slide you off with a couple here and there so you don't get addicted.
I also am just like, can I get a microdose of Klonopin? Can I just
just like a nibble?
Just a nibble every morning,
a
Klon? Every night.
Yeah,
because I take these edibles to go to sleep and it just gives me a panic attack every time.
I don't think edibles are even. They make the sleepy ones now, and I'm like, this doesn't.
It doesn't
worth it.
Yeah, you just get panicked, and then the only reason you fall asleep is because you have to breathe. You have to meditate yourself into rest.
Yeah.
Because you're panicking, so you're like, the only way out is to sleep.
Or you panic so much
that pass out.
You blow a gasket.
Yeah, totally.
It's like tired. You're tired from how much you've panicked. Yeah. Yeah, I get that a lot. But having said that, I do smoke weed a lot.
You smoke weed and we'll get on a fucking plane. You're crazy.
That makes sense, actually. I don't think
that's so panicky for me. I smoke weed. If I get on a plane, I'll be like, you guys have to pull over. I mean, you have to pull over.
I think Zyn gives me way more anxiety on the plane than weed.
Really?
Yeah, Zyn, I need to like move around. I'm like in a fucking seat with a belt in between two people. It freaked me out, actually.
I have had a panic attack on a plane, and luckily my body just made me faint.
You know what I had on a plane once? Tell me if you ever had this. Yeah. It fucked me up.
Okay, tell me.
It was like, I must have had, like, maybe a borderline sinus infection.
Yeah.
It was, like, sinus pressure in my face, and it felt like my face was going to explode.
Yeah.
It was, like, right here, but it was, like, stabbing pain, and, like, it was while we were doing the landing.
Yeah.
But I thought I was, like, dying. And you can't be, like, we're already landing. So you just have to, like, get through it. But it was really scarring. And I could hear, like, a squeak. You know, like, it was just, like, pressure.
It was
like, fuck.
It was that you probably had sinus pressure, allergies, and then your ears wouldn't pop.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
It was like all time bad.
I had that recently when I had COVID.
I could see that. Yeah, if you had COVID, that would
And
be
I cool. flew and we were landing and I was like, come on.
Yeah,
and I couldn't pop my ears and it was just like, and I was like, if the ears pop, I'll be fine. And they wouldn't pop because of the sickness.
So maybe it's but you could just do that thing, no?
Didn't work.
Really?
I tried everything. I tried yawning.
That's fucked up when that doesn't work because it almost just makes it worse.
Yeah.
It's like your head.
I know. Yes, totally. Your head just expands.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up. Yeah, I did have that. But I was also so fucked up on like NyQuil.
Yeah.
That I was just like, whatever, my head explodes. At least the snot will come out. You know?
Yeah. No,
but
for sure.
Yeah, if I was like lucid, it would have been really scary.
Yeah, I was in Peru. That's why it was scary. I'm like, I'm in the
middle
of South America. No one can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, the scariest thing I've had is in Mexico when I got food poisoning, and I was like, they don't even have doctors here.
Or they don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, good, you deserve this.
Yeah, I got giardia. It was the most. I think food poisoning is when it's food poisoning basically, where you just puke and shit and puke and shit and puke and shit. It was crazy. I was like, this is how people die. Like, this is the feeling of death. When
stomach
you're just,
bug is the worst. I would take I would take porphyria over stomach bug.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stomach bug is crazy. You actually do believe you're going to die.
Yeah, because you have no control and there's no cure. Everything else, I feel like I could fight.
Yeah.
With supplements / food. Yeah. Stomach bug, there's nothing. Anything that goes in comes back out.
You take a sip of water for some relief and it immediately comes back out.
There's truly nothing that helps. You just have to wait it out and you're like, I might die in this period.
The thing that's cool about stomach bug, though, and I even remember feeling this when I had it, was I was like, it's sick that my body is just like, exit everything.
Yeah.
You know,
evacuate.
Like, evacuate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool. But I was like, and I remember I was like, I think I'm going to die. Like, I couldn't stop moving my legs. My legs were writhing. And I was like, I like felt like I was truly, I was like, this is what happens when people die. Like, I'm close to death.
Yeah.
And I remember Taylor was like, I know that right now you're thinking you're going to die. And she was like, that's what food poisoning feels like. And I was like, there's no way. Because it was my first time. I was like, there's no way in movies when they give somebody food poisoning so that they can fuck their girlfriend or whatever. This is what.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
You
like
know what I mean?
Crashers.
Yeah, like wedding crashers. Yeah, it's like, this is the worst
thing.
Yeah.
I know. It's dehydration also. Like when you get legit dehydration, it's up there for me.
What does it feel like?
The other day, I was biking over the Queensboro Bridge, and I just black spots. But it looked like the circle of vision was slowly closing, and that felt like dying because it looks like the curtains are closing on your life.
Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah, it was so fucked. I stopped on the side of the bridge on the way down. Like, there's no effort left.
Yeah,
but I was too scared because I like couldn't. My vision was like slowly.
Well, that's
going.
What people say about fainting is they're like, I blacked out, and I'm like, fainting isn't like that. Fainting is a whiteout.
Oh, just.
It, no, it's like everything gets really light
Oh, okay.
And then sparkly and then you're done. But a dark out is way scarier.
Do you faint a lot?
Yeah.
I fainted on shrooms while taking a shit.
The shit will make you faint.
That was sick, though. Because really? On shrooms, when you can't, you like, did I just get reborn?
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was really cool.
I fainted on weed. The worst faint I had was I was driving. And I was getting my period. I didn't know what it was because I was so high. And I stopped at a stop sign and I fainted. And I came to.
In drive? Or park?
It was like this into the, what do you call that?
Ditch?
No, into the curb.
Oh, okay.
So I just like eased into the curb, passed out, called my mom. She came and picked
That's
me up.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I never want you to drive my car again.
It's so scary. Well, that was.
So scary.
That was weed and faint. I saw Megan the other day. Megan has narcolepsy and we were driving and I look over at her and she's like, it's the middle of the day, and she's like, and I was like, dude, you cannot.
Yeah, that's scary.
Because she had run out of, she takes Adderall for it, and she had ran out because she was saving it for the drive back to Nashville, and it was so, I was like, what if I wasn't in the car? I mean,
yeah, that's terrifying.
It was so fucked up.
I've never come close to falling asleep driving.
Oh, I definitely have.
I think
because
I'm a newish driver, but like I just have the anxiety of it. But people always talk about, like, you got to be careful with falling. I'm like, I've never had that problem.
It feels like you're driving. So you're driving at night and then you blink.
Yeah, I get that. I do get tired.
But when you blink and then I've realized I've fallen asleep a little because then I, like, I'm blinking, but I'm imagining I'm driving. And I'm like, oh, shit, that was sleep.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Yeah. You, like, blink and then you're like, I'm still driving. Or I'm looking at the road, and then you open your eyes, and you're like, whoa.
You're just lucid dreaming as a good driver.
Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But the thing I had growing up that reminds me of the porphyria thing that, like, where you're just, like, it's, like, crippling your childhood was I like, found all these journals that basically were, like, I wouldn't wish OCD upon anybody. Like, I wish I had AIDS instead of OCD. Like, all these things of me saying that. And, like, I found, like, in the capsule that I opened in high school that I wrote to myself when I was, like, a sixth grader, because my school is 6 through 12, was, like, you know, are you, it said, I'm, like, proud of you or something. And it said, and it was, like, do you still have OCD? And I remember reading it and being, like, man, I still have such bad OCD. And it was like I would just come into the house and it was like every single thing was contaminated. I couldn't touch anything. If I did touch it, I had to go take a shower for like, and the way it sounds similar is people would kind of just be like, stop, just like stop, like just don't. And it was like, I can't, you don't like, if this was contaminated and I touched it and we would be talking, all I would be thinking about right now is how to plan how to get my arm clean and how to get my body clean and how we would get this out the window, how then I would scrub it. Like, whatever the contaminated object was, it would just dominate. And then eventually my entire, like, school and every door was contaminated. So it would be like, it was just like, and then I would just take all of my clothes not once a week, whenever the contamination happened, to the laundromat, 10 cups of detergent and everything.
Yeah.
I would, like, spill over I like, flooded our house so many times.
See, I think the problem with both things,
yeah,
this is, like, the commonality, is that, it's hard for people to remember or sympathize with the shame that you feel for having that thing.
Right.
So, like, it's, like, because everyone's, like, with you, like, I know you have OCD.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you could do whatever, but it's hard for me to sympathize with, like, the fact that maybe you feel ashamed of having OCD. You know, so then I'll maybe say something that's callous or whatever, not thinking that you're actually embarrassed about it, like, subconsciously. And that's how it is with porphyria, too, where it's like people are like, it's not a big deal to me, like, whatever. But it's like, no, I'm ashamed to admit that I have it, even though you already know that I have it. I don't want to bring it up even.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, mine was like nobody could know. So it was like
But that's because that's from shame.
It was definitely from shame, but it was also like, the people in my class that were contaminated were like, they were like people I knew.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be like one girl came into my house and she was wearing a shirt that I knew was contaminated because it was from the same like basketball team that another contaminated person was on. So she walked into the house, my friend. I was like, hey, Jordan. And I turned around and walked out of the house and left the house.
So you had followed this shirt.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I followed so many shirts. I knew so many things. I mean, I can think of right now, like, how many things in my high school were contaminated and why. Like, and then eventually what happened was I went to college and I bought everything new. I bought everything new and kept it uncontaminated.
Yeah.
And then when I went to school, if anybody, like, my roommate, I was like, oh, shit, she's a contaminated person.
And what makes someone a no logic behind it? Or is there a thing that they do that triggers that in your mind?
It doesn't. Now it's like what would happen in my mind is if, like, say I was, what I was worried about is that if you touched me, usually it was girls, so I was really unattractive. I've never really admitted this, but I was really unattractive. I've admitted that, but and like say
really,
like
you literally have a joke saying you're a fat mall.
Yeah, I was a fat mall guy. But like, for instance, I'll say it. Brianna, my best friend.
Yeah,
she was super hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I started dating a guy who years earlier I knew like had a crush on her, right?
Right.
And she for years had been helping me with OCD. She had all these tactics to use for me. She was helping me. And then one day my OCD was like, the only reason he likes you is because you are in contact with her. Like,
yeah.
He's feeling her essence on you and he doesn't even know who you are.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't even like you. It's just that you are, I can't even identify with it now because I don't have that.
Yeah.
Now it's a totally different thing. But it's like, that's what it was at the time. And it's like, yeah, so he feels that. So then all of a sudden I just started being like, Brianna knew what was going on, but I was like, started pushing her away. And then she was like, fuck, it like got me, you know, because she had helped me when it got so many other people.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. If I was worried that somebody was going to touch me, and sometimes they were like shitty people or they were like doing drugs or they were just like.
Right.
And I was worried that the contact would like sabotage my life.
Yeah. Yeah. How old were you when you got diagnosed?
I was 11 when I got diagnosed.
Yeah.
Because I started hiding stuff. Like my best friend growing up, I started being like, we can't hang out. And then I just started like. My mom would find like bags of her stuff or things she'd touched places. But I had it. Yeah, I remember when I had it. I remember my dad being like, don't let the cats into your room because they'll shit on the floor. And then I remember like grabbing the doorknob and checking it and then checking it again and then checking it again and then checking it again. And I remember in that moment kind of being like, oh, I don't really know what reality is. Like, I don't really have a handle on anything.
Did you go to therapy as a kid?
Yeah, we went to a therapist that said I was like, she basically is just like obstinate because I was goth.
Mm-hmm.
And that therapist, I had like giant platform boots with like 7 buckles all the way up.
Yeah.
And I wore fishnets. And I remember we went in and he was just like, oh, your kid is just like obstinate. That's her problem.
Yeah,
and
really
me and
dumb.
My mom
were
like, fuck you.
Means.
Obstinate?
No, what does that mean?
You know what obstinate defiance disorder is? It's when a kid is like, they're just a bad kid.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's just a piece of shit.
Oh, that's a bad... Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... It is fucked. Like, I went to therapy when I was really young. I was a troubled child.
Yeah.
Probably because I was suffering constantly.
Yeah.
So I'd, like, freak out over everything. And my parents were like, he has to go to therapy. And...
Like, you get rage?
It's crazy. No, they were, like, really bad tantrums that they were, like, disturbed by. So they sent me to therapy.
Like, when you get road rage?
Probably worse than that. I would, like, break shit in my room, kick the door.
Always had a little of that.
There was also because I grew up with five sisters, and I just felt constant injustice. It was always multiple against me.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I've been very much... It's, like, between that, only boy in the family, porphyria, and then being the only Jewish kid in an Irish Catholic neighbor. I've never felt a part of any group, like, period. So I like to be alone. It's like, but I'm also codependent. It's very weird. But I went to therapy, and the therapist, I guess, is a friend of my mom. And I saw her recently at a dinner, and she was like, oh, yeah, I told your mom you were, like, super autistic. Like, when you went to therapy, she thought I had severe autism.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're like the least autistic person.
Thanks for letting me know now, you bitch.
That's crazy.
Yeah, why'd you even bring it up?
Yeah. Wait, was she a therapist?
Yeah. She was my
therapist.
Oh my
God.
When I was a kid, yeah. And she's a lesbian. I'm like, who are you to help anybody?
Yeah,
you know?
Come on. yeah, and then I found a therapist that was good, but she was like, you have OCD and bipolar disorder. And they tried everything. They tried hypnotism. Good. And then the hypnotist was like, you have to bring in a bag of contaminated clothes. And I was like, no, I can't touch them.
Right.
But the thing that helped, and then I tripped on acid and I like faced the devil, which was awful. I mean, it was like the scariest acid trip of my life, but I was like, I'm going into this room and going to figure out OCD. And I just realized like, because my thing was, I also had started having panic attacks in college because I would be sitting in philosophy class and I remember being like, I'm going to hurt the professor. I'm going to hurt him. Like, I'm going to jump up and attack him. And I would start fainting and sweating and being like losing consciousness because I was so worried I was going to do something weird.
Yeah.
And I had to quit roofing because I thought I was going to jump off the roof. Like, there were so many things.
I could see that.
Yeah.
That's actually crazy that.
Yeah.
I could never do that. That job.
Right.
The urge would be there constantly.
The urge is there constantly.
Like, you would never do it, but it's just like, how could you even make it through a day of work?
How could you? Yeah. How could you? Well, now I can. I mean, now I can't. No, even when I'm on my roof, it's too hard.
I lived on a roof in the Upper East Side, and I just remember saying to my roommates, I'm like, I am concerned.
Yeah.
That, like, I just will wake up hungover one day and be like, I don't want to deal with this today.
That's what I felt moving into this four story.
Yeah.
I was really worried because I was like, what if I jump out? And then a few months ago, the door handle fell off and I couldn't get out. And I was like, I'm just going to jump to my death. There's no way.
Yeah.
If I can't get out that, because my only escape.
If I can't grab a kombucha right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to end it. Right?
Yeah. My whole thing was like, if I get the panic to jump out, I'll just run to the bottom floor. Like, that was my whole. So that I couldn't get out. I was like, oh, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Or the other day I had to break in through the upstairs building and they were like, will you go out in the fire escape and do it? And I was like, yeah. And then I was out there just shaking down, being like, don't jump.
Yeah.
I can't go on Ferris wheels, game over. No way, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
I cannot.
Ferris wheels ain't for everybody.
I cannot.
I don't like that. Damn, that's crazy.
But I like being strapped in. Roofing's
that's
fucked
really
up.
Fun.
I also, with carpentry, thought I was going to take the nail gun to my face or take it to somebody else. Like, I was having so many thoughts like that.
Okay, so here's a question.
Yeah.
When that thought seeps into your brain, is it with, like, obviously, slight panic, but, like, is that about it, or do you get the squeamy?
Squeamy?
Yeah, so I think you'll know, because I get the same thing.
Yeah.
But then I think that means we would never do it.
That's
I'm
what...
I'm like, I'm going to shoot myself with this nail gun, but then I'm like, ugh, I, like, picture it.
Yeah.
And I, like, think of the blood, and I'm like, it's so gross. And then I just, well,
I know,
I'll
but
never
the, I'm
it.
Already getting panicky thinking about it. But
yeah,
the
yeah.
speed in which you could do it, that's my problem.
I know, but then it's like, this. Who's that? You got company?
Who could that be?
I don't know. Maybe it's a delivery guy. Package.
Should I let him in?
Nah.
Yeah, I... Oh, although I did...
What?
Something.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. You went to... You were Jewish in a Catholic school.
Jewish in a Catholic school. I've just, like... I've... Yeah, it's weird. I think about this now. I'm like... Do I have a best friend? You know what I mean?
You have so many best friends. I'm your best friend.
No,
Tom's
I know,
your best friend.
But then I don't because of that. There's no one I'm
oh.
like...
Oh.
I mean, you're the closest.
To what?
that person, I feel like, that I feel like if there's a problem, Tom is close, but like no one, I'm just like, there's not many.
That if you were burned?
Just people in general that I'm like, can I be 100% genuine? And sometimes I think it's hard for me to, I think I've gotten better at it, but like when I was a kid, it was hard for me to be authentic because I'm like, how could I just hate myself so much because like to a deep, not just like my personality, like literally to the genes of my body, I hate it. So it's like, it's on a subatomic level, I hate myself.
Yeah.
So it's like hard for me. So I would just be like, it's just better to like be what people want rather than myself because it's, myself is no good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right, because yourself is...
Well, because I was, like, Jewish Puerto Rican, which I was told is bad.
Were you told Porphyria.
Yeah, I mean, that was... My friends were all Irish Catholic. I love them. It is maybe Stockholm Syndrome. Like, they're my friends because of... They're my captors, you know what I mean? But they're... but I'm close with all of them.
What did they say?
They would just... It would just be little things, but it's just
like
constant.
How I do it where I always say Jew?
Oh, with the Jewish stuff? No, they would say a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, all the time.
Even though you look like them and sound like them and do everything like them?
Yeah, but I'm like, is that genuine? I don't even know. I don't even know who I am anymore.
You have Jewish tendencies in there, which are very good, and you have Puerto Rican tendencies, and you have very much, very much raised as a kid who grew up with Irish Catholic people.
Right. Yeah, it's just weird.
It sucks, dude. I'm in the same boat. Do you know how growing up and having everybody be like, you're gay? And I'm like, I can't tell you. The water I was swimming in was fucking homo water, dude. Like, I'm not gay.
Yeah.
It really sucks. And it is like, you know, like last night I was on stage and I had like a baggy shirt and baggy pants. And I looked in the mirror at the cellar, like across while I was on stage. And I was like, who am I? Am I just my mom? Like, who... Like, you know, and I think a big part of who we are is who am I?
Of course. And also, I know you wanted to talk about, like, free will.
Yes,
for example,
please.
But, like, going
you're the best
to that,
the segue.
Where it's like, I will constantly do things, and I, like, my parents are super loving and all this stuff. But I'm like, I have that joke about, like, it's hard to be around family when you hate yourself because they have the qualities you have. And I'm constantly being like, I'm like this. I didn't choose to be like this.
Yeah.
You made me, like, and my friends, too. I'm like, this is all from, like, these formative years, and now I'm, like, acting this way over something that I never intended, obviously. Like, no one's anyone. That's why, like...
No one's anyone.
That's why, like, personality is, like, this fake illusion that doesn't... It's just people's reactions to, like, societal norms. There's no such thing as, like, a genuine personality, because you could be like, this person's cool because they do this, but 20 years ago, that was gay. So, like, there's no... it's all just this made-up shit... And
we are the whole no free will thing is we are just an amalgamation of experiences and things that have happened. You know, we are not, it's like a transient thing. It's not something that's like I've solidified. It's completely like in motion constantly.
Yeah.
And also not something that you can like, I mean, I do think that you can like motivate the no free will thing. I think you can have no free will. And I do think you can like. Have the illusion enough to I think that we're under the illusion of free will like all the time. I think we always know that we always feel that we have free will, and that's like an important thing to like maintain consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that like it's like being like, you know, I really like apples, and you're like, you like apples because the dopamine is released because there's a sweet sensation, da da da. And it's like, I choose this thing. And it's like, you don't really choose it. You're choosing it because everything that led you here chose you to choose it. But it's like from the subjective person that is Jordan,
mm-hmm.
It feels as if I'm making choices, right? So it's like from your entire life that's led you up to you now, I know who Jake is. I could describe you. I could write it down, you know, but it would take years, but I could. And like, you could write down who Jordan is. So it's like, it's tangible in the sense that all those things do amount to something, but it's intangible in the sense that like that there it's crazy to ever be like, I wish I wasn't like this or this. You know what I mean? Like
of course. And you are who you are. And that's like the obviously like the brief moments of comfort that I do have in like having Porphyria. I'll be like, well, it gives me a unique perspective and you know, I wish I didn't have this, but whatever, but I have no control over it.
And there's the no world in which you didn't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do have, like, I almost believe in the no free will thing, but, like, 95%. And I think the other 5% is, like, because I do have this, like, little bit of, like, religious belief. And yeah. It is in that 5%. And it's, like, that meme with, like, someone's looking at the wall, someone's looking out the window. It's, like, you're on the same train no matter what. But you could choose to look out the window, you could choose to look at the wall.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the where free will exists. But the faith comes in where it's like, I believe if you were to look out the window, you would end up in a better destination than if you were looking out. And that's where it's like diverges from free will.
Why?
If that makes sense. Because I'm saying if you're conscious and you're present and you're acknowledged of the fact that there's no free will and you're living this life, then I actually think you actually do make better decisions and you end up in a better place than you would have otherwise.
And
that's almost not having. And then that disagrees with no free will because you're saying you're affecting a different destination than you would have otherwise.
I think that what it is if you understand that you have free will and accept it, I think that what that means is it changes your life in the sense that, like,
you understand you don't. I mean,
you understand you don't have free will. It changes your life in the sense that you're like, you're more able to forgive yourself. You don't walk around looking retrospectively into the past and thinking that things could have been different. Like, you are more lucid in the sense that you're like, I truly could not change the past. Therefore, there is no reason to regret it.
I know, but what I'm saying is that if you're able to forgive yourself and you're able to, like, be easier on yourself, then that bleeds out to other things where you're also kinder to other people. And over time, it's like these near unnoticeable changes, but over a lifespan,
yeah,
it makes a world of difference. And so then you end up in a different destination. And then for that reason, there is a level of free will because you're ending up in a different place than you would have otherwise. And that's based on will. So there is some free will. That's why I'm like, I'm 5% on the side that you have free will and like 95% that you don't. Because you're going to be on that train either way. But it's as though if when you finally got to the station, doors opened on both sides. And if you were looking out the window and just not acknowledging, not being present at all, you had to go out that side, which is like hell. And if you were acknowledging it and being present and like kind and, you know, like loving, then you get into the side that's heaven. So it's like you end up in a different destination.
Right, but we know that no matter what, probably given the fact that me and you have suffered, that we had horrible childhoods that we suffered and had to basically find out that that we couldn't have changed anything.
Yeah.
We both came to the conclusion there was no free will, but that we're just, I mean, we could feel fortunate that that happened, but we don't need to feel like that was our will that did that. You know what I mean? Like, that we both discovered no free will and we both use it isn't something that was within our power, but it was something we both did discover. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, again, this could, I'm sure there's someone smarter than me that could poke holes in what I'm about to say. And I'm dumb enough to believe what I believe.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm just a dumb person that's thought a lot about what I think.
Same.
You know what I mean? That's
of
all
course,
it is.
Yeah.
But like, I think we were hanging with Duncan once.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, like, girls will, like, do something sometimes, and he, like, builds this huge narrative up in his head, and it resonated with me because I feel the exact same way. And he said he's, like, a highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
And I realized that that's what I am.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, I could build these narratives up in my head, and then as a result of building these narratives up in my head, be shitty.
Yeah.
To a girl or a friend because I'm like, they slighted me, they did this, and all these things that you made up. Or you could just acknowledge the fact that you're a highly sensitive person, that you built all this stuff up in your head, and then you're usually more compassionate. So it's like you acted two different ways by this acknowledgement of like who you are.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So I think like it
makes this. But that still wasn't up to you.
That's what I mean.
It makes a difference in your life the same way that going to college makes a difference in your life, but it wasn't your choice to choose to go to college, and it wasn't your choice to choose to know about no free will, but you do. And it did impact you.
Right.
It's the same as anything. It's the same as if you choose a salad over a cheeseburger, it's not your choice, really.
Yeah.
You think it's your choice. The other thing is, R.I.P. Dennett. I think it's Daniel Dennett. Is he? Yeah. He was arguing about this, and he was like, look, it doesn't, like, you may semantically be like, there is no free will, but the fact that we feel that there's free will means that there is free will. Like, the fact that when I'm looking at a steak and a salad, and I go, I choose the salad, like, that is a, for me and my existence, that's a choice. I think that there's like two angles. There's the angle of like a global, like if this person was raised the way that they were and they ended up raping somebody, that's you, if you had every single thing in their life lead up to that, you would have also raped somebody. You know what I mean? Like you would also be the criminal if you lived exactly their life. That being said, subjectively looking out through our eyes, it does appear as if we have choices, but it is, I think that's why it is just, it is an illusion, but it is definitely a necessary, it's an unbreakable illusion. The sure. only way to break it, the only way to break it is retroactively.
Sure, but I guess this is like maybe, again, faith-based, but it's like within like from like Stoicism.
Yeah.
It's like, there's all these externals and basically all your choices and like where you are is just not up to you. It's basically this like what they call like the logos, or it'd be like the ether or God or nature or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it's like that is like you have no choice. You should only think about what you can control. But what you can control is incredibly narrow.
Yeah.
But it is something. And so you'd have free will within that space in my mind.
Yeah.
So whether even if it's just even the accepting of the fact that you have no free will to me is free will because you're choosing to accept that fact.
I know, but I think it's not. I think that would have happened no matter what. I think that's the point.
I don't know. I don't know. I truly do because
I think it's I think it was an inevitability because of I mean, even like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I just think that it's the same as everything else where it's like no matter what would have happened. I mean, it happened, therefore it had no, there's no other world in which it couldn't have happened where you chose free will because that is not the world that existed. There isn't a, you know, yeah. There isn't another reality where you didn't choose it. Therefore it was inherently going to happen because that, I mean, I think that's the whole illusion thing where we think that there's like another reality in which I didn't have OCD or you would perfect, you know what I mean? And that, or right, we didn't discover free will and we lived with a blanket over our eyes. And I think that idea of that there's another reality is not right. And I do think it impacts you. Like it do, like I do think it is helpful. Like even like I think about like I'm seeing this trainer and it's like, you know, it's so hard for my body to make any difference because I was so fat growing up and I had type 2 diabetes and it's like so, you know, I see like Caitlin and she's lost so much weight and she's everybody and we've doing the same thing and it's like I'm always like, why did I have to do that? Like, why did I have to live up, eat like I did as a kid? Why was I on so many medications? Why did I why did that have to happen to me? And it's like the only, like, either I have like a couple options. It's like either I was going to be one of these people who was like, you know, blame my family, self-love, get really mad at everybody, like, or I'm just like, that is it happened because it was going to happen and right. It did, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess I go back and forth. It's, yeah, have you ever seen Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
And it's like by the end of it he's like God because he knows everything that's gonna happen.
Yeah,
that's like all right, this might take a sec.
Okay,
I'm going to try my best. Okay. So, like, within that one town on that one day, he was able to accrue all the information that was available. And so in that little snow globe of a world, there is no free will, in a sense. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen, no matter what.
Right.
Because he had all the information. And I used to have this idea of, like, the divine mind, that there's a mind that would know everything, that could calculate every decision that everyone would make. And it was almost like, so I heard the analogy of like a pool shot. There's mathematicians that could look at the angle that you hit a cue ball that hits other balls and calculate where all the balls are going to go. So imagine got the pool shot of like life.
Yeah.
He could calculate where everyone's going to go no matter what. So in that sense, there is no free will. But I think that the idea of like this divine mind is totally made up.
Yeah.
And there's no such thing. And so then I don't know if there is such a thing as like calculating where people are going to go. I think it might just be chaos. And that
it is chaos.
No, but then I think that means there's a level of free will.
It's just free will in the sense that like if I say there's no free will in the sense that like if I say think of an animal, the thing that pops into your head, it's not really up to you. You have no idea why you thought of the animal that you thought of. Many things led to you thinking that and it wasn't in your power. I mean, I think it's basically like an arbitrary thing to obsess about because we do live under the illusion of free will. We do think that we have free will, but in reality, you were going to make the decision you were going to make because of all the decisions leading up to this. It's very odd. That's why I do kind of go with Dennett on it, where he's like, it doesn't matter because we do think we have free will. So you can think like, there is relief in being like, I couldn't have made the decisions that I couldn't have, I think the way that I look at it is like everything that happened did happen. And to look at it like I could have changed something is not real, because in the moment I was doing the best. This is what I realized on the acid trip. Like, I was like, every moment I'm choosing what I think is the best choice. Like, so to think that I could go back, like even the moment where you're like, I'm going to get blackout drunk tonight. You're like, in this moment, I believe this is the right thing. And I think for people who hate themselves, we go, I was fucking retarded back then. Why did I do this?
Yeah, yeah.
And in reality, you were just you then making the right decision.
Right, right.
And in that moment, and that's where there's no free will, you're like, I thought in that moment that that choice, whatever led me there, I chose that.
I know what I'm trying to say, and I don't know if it makes any sense.
I love it.
I'm just really stupid.
Yeah.
But what you, the way you're describing it is like this linear, like if mathematics is like linear mathematics, it's like it goes, it like follows a level of logic. It's like, it's almost as though you are programmed like a computer program, and then that decides every decision. And what I'm saying is that the idea of any logic leading to any decision is just totally illusory, and just everything is chaos. And like, there's a level of like free will that is playing. There's nothing. It's like I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like they're just.
But there isn't nothing, because there is cause and effect. It's like a little snowball. It's like you roll it. And you have no idea where the snow is going to pack on and where it'll go, but it is going to like keep moving forward. That's the linear nature of it. So it's not chaotic in the sense that
I think that's like how our brains make sense of the world. And like the snowball is actually not always going to roll that way.
It can't hover randomly.
I think it could.
No way.
Yeah.
No.
Because I think it could.
You think it's all chaotic in the sense that like, I mean, it is chaotic, but there is a linear, I think there is a linear, a very many layered linear thing. Like,
but do you ever do so much psychedelics that you break out of it and you're like, nothing is anything? It's all a projection of like something that underlies everything else.
But the thing that underlies it is the thing I'm talking about. That thing is tactile. That thing is tangible.
No. I think the world that we experience, the linearness of what you're talking about, is all the projection. It's we need to do that to make sense, because otherwise our brains would break and we wouldn't be able to live in a
saying,
society.
I'm not saying linear like one path. I'm saying linear like there is cause and effect. Like when you're on acid, don't you feel like you're connected to a greater sense of matter and like even and all of the stuff that is like synthetic? You're like, this is all made up. And the words that you're ascribing to are made up, but there is like some substance that everything is attached to, even if it's super.
It's like the logo. That's what this stage we call.
But I think that the matter that we actually have to interact with is, oh, I see what you're saying. You're almost like it isn't the fact that I went to school here, did this and this and this. It's like it could have been the fact that a cloud to my left in the upper right hand corner did one thing that impact. Like, it's so many variables it's chaotic.
Infinite. It's too much. But we don't even know if I was just saying, like, you could even take those little things, like the cloud to your left, but even that would still follow that concept of, like, the divine mind, this thing that could predict future behavior based on, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I don't think that concept does exist. I think that the idea of that concept exists. That's why we're creating, like, AI and all this stuff.
Yeah.
We're trying to create the, like, God mind, but it's actually, like, we'll never catch up to it. Like, the universe is expanding faster than we can expand our understanding. So like we'll never. So then there's no like reason to anything. There's no like.
But that's no free will still.
There's no free will in the sense that we have no control over it. But I'm saying like one of the variables of these infinite variables is the decisions people make. Or like, so there's like that is what free will is. It's playing this role that's like minuscule, almost negligible.
Oh yeah.
But it does. It is. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe it's less than 5%, but there's like a percentage of like, to me, that there's like, you are like impacting everything. Like, we're all connected in that like your actions do have consequences. Not we're all connected in that you're just going to do what you're going to do because of everything around you. You're part of that. You're part of the whole.
Oh, you're okay. So you're saying like, yeah, I think that that's, I mean, Sam Harris, the free will guy, is basically saying that the more people accept the idea of free will, the better our world will be.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But
totally.
Yeah, but like it's like 99.999999% we have no say in the matter. But there's a level of like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not completely no free will. It's like I can't.
Even the world slowly tilting its way to a better place is still not in anybody's. It's just the way of. There's just no other reality than the reality that we're in. That's the thing that's hard for us to grasp.
But the reality is not real, is what I'm saying. Like, look at like the way you see the world and the way a fly sees the world. Who's to say which one's correct? So there's right. no objective reality.
There is no objective reality. I do agree with
so
that.
So then we're saying no free will based on this understanding of the reality that we're in. So there's no way to even say, really. You know, like we're trying to use it to appease our ape brain. Like there's no...
Like its consciousness is completely...
It's just impossible to know because we're totally beholden to like this belt of restriction, you would call it.
Yeah.
Which is just the words that we have and the language we have to understand the world around us.
Yeah.
So we can only understand the world within this belt, but the world is actually infinite outside of that.
Yeah.
So there's impossible to know whether there's free will or no free will. Because we could only understand our ape. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost like any conversation is not worth having. In general.
Yeah. Yeah, but even still, like even exist. In the way that the fly moves around, it doesn't, the argument is the fly doesn't have any choice. The sure. whole, everything you're saying fits under the umbrella of there's still, with what you're saying, could be no free will.
Sure, there could, there couldn't, the, like there's no.
There isn't, because it isn't like. Because everything you're describing is pointing to the direction that there isn't. Like, who would be making the decisions? Any decision that's being made is already... Even if the fly says, I'm going to rest here, it's not the fly's idea. It's everything that led the fly to do it. The fly doesn't have a subjective or a self that is able to, in the moment, be like, of all of the decisions I could possibly make, this is the one I'm making. The fly is like... I'm choosing between two things. I think that I'm choosing between them, but in reality, I'm already going to choose that one because that is the one I'm choosing.
Right. But I'm saying reality is completely subjective.
All it means is when you fucking do something, when you make a choice to do it, you do it, and you accept it that that's the choice that you made, and you when you look back on it, you accept that that was the choice you were going to make no matter what because there's no other reality. That's all it is. It's like if you trip and fall and you're like, why did it have to be raining today? It's like there was no world in which I didn't trip and fall because there is no world in which I, because we're in the world and I trip and fell.
I know, but this is where I'm not agreeing.
Okay.
Is you trip and fall and you could be like, well, that was going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
And then the next day you trip and fall. Whereas yeah. if you've tripped and fell and then you were like, oh, should I trip and fell because that thing is there and I need to watch out for it next time?
You're comparing two realities that don't exist. If I trip and fall the next day, whatever happens is going to happen. But it's not like there are two realities that you're describing. It's not like there's a reality in which you're on the train and you look out, and then there's a reality in which you're on the train and you don't look out. Your reality, you're looking out. Like, there isn't two worlds. The next day you trip, there's no world in which you trip and fall and then you don't learn from it. And if you did, there'd be some reason why that happened. Right. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only
just a guy. Yeah, yeah.
Just a
guy with Down syndrome.
I mean, this is like Kant's whole thing is he was trying to prove cause and effect, and they were like, he was like, you couldn't ask the question, is there cause and effect if there wasn't cause and effect? Like, moments are attached to each other in some way, shape, or form. You can't, like, we have a unified sense of self in the sense that if a ball drops, we assume that it will drop again. Like,
right.
That is how life works. Yeah. We do not keep going, why does the ball drop? Why is the ball drop? Why isn't it levitating? Because we just learned that dropping it, you fell, and therefore the next day that will impact it. It won't, you didn't choose to impact your life by falling, but you will learn from it inherently. Just like you didn't choose to accept no free will, but you will learn from it inherently.
But I know, but again, it's probably because I'm too stupid. But I'm under the understanding that we assume the ball is going to drop to make sense of the world around us. But it's all based on probability. It's like there's a 99.9999% chance that ball will drop, but there could be a chance that ball doesn't drop.
It is, yeah. This is like in college when I learned that there was a way that there was a percentage chance that you could just put your hand through a table if all of the particles aligned,
yeah.
And I would just slam my hand on the table all day. It was
yeah.
insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
But it what's is that like experiment they did where it was like...
The split.
Yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. That shit.
But that's what I'm saying.
That shit, where there was a slit and basically they shot photons through two slits, and it would either go through one or it would go through the other. But when the observer stopped watching, when the scientist stopped watching, it would go through both at the same time, creating a wave pattern on the thing, which is crazy.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Why it be like that?
That's what I mean.
Why it be doing
like
that?
So there's no...
We need to have a quantum physicist on the pod.
Yeah, you should get one. Someone who actually knows what they're talking about, because I have no idea.
Look at the dog.
I'm just a dumb man.
Oh my god. Look at this dog. He's so snuggy. He loves it. Yeah, I just think that my entire life I've been spending trying to figure out why things have been bad. And
yeah, but I think the no free will thing, and it's good what you're saying with Dennett, why you agree with Dennett, because the no free will could be a crutch. I think it's bad when you use it as a crutch. Even if you're going to make the decisions you're going to make anyways.
You know when I do use it as a crutch? When I call my ex.
Yeah.
That's when I use it as a crutch. I'm like, I was going to do this anyway.
That's bad.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
But I've been looking for a lot of reasons, like, because Sam Harris is always like, you're not going, like, people are like, if I have no free will, why wouldn't I just lay in bed all day and then just say I was going to lay in bed anyway? And he's like, you're not going to do that because everything leading you up to there says that you're not somebody who lays in bed. But there are very quick moments where I'm like, I'm going to do this. But I would have done it anyway. Because there is no, yeah, it would have happened anyway.
I don't know.
It's really tough.
It's tough. It's... Yeah, like I said, I think it's just impossible to know.
What I want to know is how, I mean, I'm going to put this podcast up and I know that I'll get so many people that are like, why do you even care? And I don't,
like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I just don't understand how people, how people live their life and don't have any, like, why they don't have to know about, like, epistemology or like even when I've tried to talk to people about it and they're just like, there's no reason to talk about this. Let's just go. I'm like, I get that. I get in the moment you might not want to, but there are people who really, and I wish that I was like that, where they're like, I'm just living in the life I'm living in and I don't need to think about that. I think it's like, I don't know. I just am wondering what leads somebody to be like, I have to, like, why do me and you both study the exact same stuff? Why do we both? Because when we first, like, drove together, we started talking about this shit. And it was like free will, stoicism, philosophy. Like, what leads somebody to just be like, I have to know?
For everyone, it's different.
Yeah.
I think psychedelics could play a role. I think for us and for most people, though, it is suffering.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the Buddha, suffering is the only thing, like, the only real thing. But, like, I think everyone suffers, but some people truly just bury it, or it's so minor. But I do think everyone suffers. It's like an
inevitable
thing.
I do think everyone suffers,
but like ours was like these, like OCD or porphyria, these things out of our control crippled us, ruined our childhood, whatever. And it's like, if we didn't try to make sense of it, we would kill ourselves. You know what I mean?
I think a big part of it is the suicide thing. I think the amount of times that I've been like, why not just kill myself, and then I've had to be like, I remember existentialism coming into my life and it being like, what is your, like, you have all the control, and me being like, that's so not true because I have OCD. So how can you possibly say that? And then I think that was the thing that, I mean, that was a big twist for me, where I was like, I do feel like I have a sense of control. Like, I do feel like there are ways that I can impact my environment and I can shift things around. But I do also feel like, it's crazy how little control I have. Like, it's crazy how I'm being like, don't do that. And then I'm doing it.
Right.
And I think that was, I had to get to the bottom of that, where it was like, yeah. But for you, it was like, I mean, when did you start getting into it?
Yeah. So I've always been depressed pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, as a kid, just because of porphyria / just not fitting in and stuff.
Yeah.
So, when my best friend went to prison.
Yeah.
And I, like, lived with him for a year.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was, like, maybe 19 or 20, and I saw this book, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. So I bought two copies. I sent him one in prison, and then I read that. And it, like, was this, like, looking back, it's funny because it's, like, a whatever book. I mean, it's very good, but it's about how he went to the Holocaust or was in the concentration camps, and, like, people turned suffering into meaning. And he said that, like, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is, like, kind of broken because, like, there'd be people who didn't have food or water, but they were self-actualized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they found, like, a purpose in the concentration camps despite having not even food or water. So you don't have to, like, go through those steps. And so I just became, like, obsessed with that stuff then. But what's funny is, like, my friend who was in prison. It was for my friend who was in prison who, like, didn't really care for the book at all.
Really?
I mean, he was, like, he liked it, but it wasn't, like, a life-changing book.
So
that's when I got into it. And then I just was constantly reading, like, a lot of Viktor Frankl. I started with, like, all Viktor Frankl and then, like, Stoicism. And then I read, like, a couple other philosophy or psychology books.
So it's a similar thing. Both me and you realized at the same time that meaning was something that you created.
Yeah, yeah.
And that it was within your power to define the meaning. Yeah, I think that is what it was.
Well, yeah.
Everything felt... You know what it is? It was like 19.
See, we talked about this actually.
Yeah, it's the age.
No, it's not the age. It was the period of our lives.
Yeah.
We both had... Like, my most formative years, strangely enough, were like 18 to 21.
Yeah, same.
And I think for you too. And I think it's because we had this insane... I remember you telling me it was like your best friend died, your dad passed away, yeah. And like all this... shit was happening at once.
Yeah.
And for me, it was ended up in the hospital, my parents got divorced, and my best friend went to prison all at once.
Yeah.
And I was reading this book, and it's just about how you suffering, you gain meaning from, like, you could turn suffering into meaning. And I was like, this is exactly what I need because I'm going through a lot right now. And otherwise, I would just be suffering. But now I could, like, turn it into something.
Yeah. I also think there was something about, like, I think it was also like I can't just be somebody who's on the planet just receiving shit to the face. Like, yeah, it was like, it felt like that, where I was like, this can't just be like I was having a good time and stuff, but I remember just being like, everything is so hard for me. There has to be like a reason. I mean, I also think that like I had OCD because I was like, what is a self? Who's going to tell me I'm not a crazy person? Yeah, yeah. What is that? And then reading philosophy, it was like, what is a self? And I was like, dude, I've been asking myself since I was 5. Yeah, like, what, yeah, you know what I mean? And I just think that, yeah, I think it comes back to the like, you either have the question, or you don't. For some reason, who am I? And for some people, they realize at a young age, there is no I. And that's fucked up. And I think for a kid, that's like horribly terrifying because then bad things are happening to you. And you're like, for what? For what? Mm. It's not like the bad things are going to happen to me. And I'm all of a sudden, and it's going to, I'm going to know that that's like creating a strong person. Like, I know that there is no person. Therefore, I'm just suffering for nothing. And I think that was where philosophy helped, where it was like, yeah, what you're feeling is right. It is crazy and it is right. And like, here are a million different ways that you can look at what you're experiencing.
Yeah. I think we're lucky to have found that stuff when we did.
Yeah.
I was reading something where it's like kids actually have no idea of self because they don't know what they look like even yet.
Yeah.
Whereas we have years now of feedback from other people telling us what we look at. And then so we have this idea of self now that's really strong, but we were lucky enough to like, find these books maybe at like 19 or 20 that helped like defend against it. But if we didn't, it would be really hard to defend against it now in our 30s with like this incredible, especially with social media, where you have like a quantifiable like page.
Yeah.
Of, like, this is who I am.
Yeah. Even like last night I was talking to somebody and there was another guy there and basically I can't get into it, but he basically was like, I think you're like a shitty person.
To you?
Yeah. And I was like, why do you think that? And he was like, because you've like said some stuff that I've heard about. And then, and like the stuff that I had heard was like, the stuff that he had heard was basically like that. It was like, I felt insecure that he didn't like me and he felt insecure that I didn't like him. And he thought, and what his way of dealing with it was being like, you're an asshole because you think I don't like you. And then last night I was like, hey, I really like, I don't know you. So I know that like, and I was like, if you think that me ever saying like, maybe you don't like me is, you know, cause he had heard through a friend that I was like, oh, that guy doesn't like me. And I was like, that was not what I was doing. And we just like talked it out and, you know, we like shook hands in the end and it was fine. But like when it first came up, like when he first said that, he was like, I think you're a shitty person. I like felt like my eyes started welling up and I was like, I just like ran. I was like, oh, I have to go on stage. And I ran away. And then I was like, and then I thought about it and I was like starting to make him wrong. And then I was starting to make me wrong. And I was like, no, I know. I like lucidly know the reality is that these things happened and neither of us are a bad person and we've just ascribed an arbitrary thing to each other in order to deal with the fact that, you know what I mean, in order to deal with something. And I just like, and also there was a feeling of like, there was the feeling of like, and if I am, if you are thinking right now, Jordan, what if you are a bad person? Like, you are not a person. So the way that you can like change that feeling is to make amends right now and apologize for any wrongdoing that you had. And I think that that studying philosophy my whole life has made it so like the rigidity of who I am is not fixed. It's not, I haven't decided who I am at all. So at any moment, if I'm like, oh my God, am I this way? I'm like, watch this. I will not be that way.
Right.
Which
right.
is so, I think philosophy is like, I was so upset when I got to college and took a philosophy class. I was like, how dare I not? If somebody had given this to me when I was 11 in a digestible way, I would have been so much, I would have understood so, like, I was searching, it felt like I was, like, finally getting water that I was asking
for
sure. Right?
I mean, I think about that all the time. Like, I just know I'm a better person if I'm reading a philosophy book versus, like, even a novel.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, like, you won't realize it until you pick up the philosophy book, but then you're like, I'm like super organized. That's what, it's just like your life is just better. And I think it's because it's the, you know, that famous quote, like the examined life is the only life worth living.
Yeah.
That's such a good quote. That's why it's like that, because it, otherwise you're just, whether free will exists or not, you're just being tugged. So like,
yeah,
you have to open your eyes.
Life is the big tug.
It's the big tug.
It's the big tug, dude.
Getting tugged off.
Oh, you're getting tugged off all day.
I'm getting tugged. I'm a light little boy getting tugged around.
All right. That was maybe one of my favorite episodes.
Are we wrapping up?
Yeah. We're at an hour 25. I know.
You got more to talk about?
I know.
What else you want to throw at me?
Let's go get some snacks.
You want to get snacks?
Yeah.
Is she sleeping?
We're at an hour and a half. Oh, no, chibi.
No, we missed the middle. What else you got to say?
I don't. You can come back and do another one.
All right. All right. I thought we were going to go Rogan on this. Four to 5 hours. Elon Musk, Lex episode.
That was such bullshit.
8 hours? Let's go 8 hours.
That was 8 hours, 20 minutes of Elon.
Yeah.
Elon is starting to freak me out.
What if you have the brain chip? How does that play a role?
What is the brain chip?
I never like.
What's it do?
Well, it just like would connect, hypothetically, down the road, it would connect you to the internet. You would have like unlimited knowledge.
But we're just, that's just a phone in your face.
Just a phone in your face.
It's just a phone in your face. You know what I mean? Like that's just, it's still something you have to go look up and access. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That is crazy. I know. It's really fucked. Are you chipped?
Sure.
Really?
I mean, I'm fine with the phone in my face because, but I'm sure that, like, I'm very much like, if there's an advancement that helps me, my life, like, I love, like, Siri is my best friend. I love her.
I'm out. So out.
But if I were growing up in it, what do you mean? If it's just up there and easier to access, and I don't have to carry my phone around.
You ever watch Black Mirror? It's like hell only exists with that.
I am really scared about the brain. The brain is scary.
Imagine they just, like, kept you alive and, like, we're just gonna hit Jordan's pain sensors for eternity. I had that dream once that was the villain of my dream. That's what they did.
Did you have porphyria that day?
I don't remember. I told you about it, though. There was, like, an evil guy, and he was, like, the evil emperor. And then they would connect you to, like, a Matrix-type machine, but it was, like, hell. They just kept you alive and activated your pain for eternity. So you were just in pain for eternity. But, like, I feel like that's possible with a brain chip.
It is possible,
so, like, fuck that.
We could get rid of prisons.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, fuck that. You're right.
That's why I wouldn't do it.
I guess I'm imagining brain chip, and this is wrong of me, as ocular glasses, and that's not true. It's literally in your brain. The glasses are sick.
Glasses I would do.
But this Neuralink is in the brain?
Yeah, it's in the brain.
Where?
Well, they're doing it now for people who have like quadriplegics, so they can walk again. Which that, I mean, it makes sense, but even then I'd be scared.
It is upsetting that my friend was paralyzed. That is something that's been upsetting me, and that she just like, and she died, and that maybe if she had that, she wouldn't have died or something.
Yeah.
But there's no free will.
I'm sorry.
And it never would have happened. Because
it
didn't happen.
The white light is? Like the white light when you die is like...
Regret?
No. Yeah, regret. You're like, fuck.
That's all the times that you said like, you know, library.
What did I do?
What white light?
That was such a jump. I don't even know why I thought you would get what I was saying.
Yeah. Is that the white light?
Like, everyone thinks we're going to upload our consciousness.
Oh.
So the white light is like, we got the uploaded. Person from back in the day. We brought them back.
I don't know. I fainted so much that that white light is like,
oh,
you've
seen
the
white light. Right.
I think the white light is here. Yeah, your shit's shutting down.
Yeah. That's true. All right. That's a good point.
But I do wonder about the light flashing before your eyes thing.
That's kind of cool. I thought also death could just be because your brain releases DMT and DMT time no longer exists. So then it's just an eternal trip.
Death?
Yeah. Like heaven is just the eternal psychedelic mushroom trip, basically.
It's got to be something, like, something that. Like that. It has to be. Because you feel that when you're tripping. You're like, wherever I'm going has something to do with this shit.
It's probably like 2 minutes in reality. It's like the duration of your last breath, but it feels like forever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, the duration of your last breath feels like an infinite acid trip, but then in reality, and then all of a sudden you're a plant again.
Yeah.
Or you're something.
Or you're just
a baby.
Bones in the ground, but...
But bones don't have consciousness. It's got to be another... I really have to believe in reincarnation. Reincarnation is such a gay word, but I have to believe that you die and then you go back into a consciousness arrives again. Like, there's only...
No,
because we just keep getting more.
I think the idea of reincarnation is that there's nothing is ever lost or gained.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean your consciousness. It's not like you.
Not you.
It's just like your matter. Matter never ceases to exist.
Right.
So it's like recycled into the world. But you ever you ever like see someone that like has the same voice as a dead person that you knew?
Oh yeah.
And that fucks
all
me
the time.
Up. I'm like, this is them.
Oh yeah, I mean, sometimes I see people and I'm like, you're just a different version of a person I know, and then I ask their name and it's the same name.
What is
going on?
I know. And there's just like people that actually maybe you're right about the it seems like there's like only like 100 people.
Right?
You know what I mean?
There's only like 100 people.
Yeah, there's only like 'cause I even know people that are the exact same.
And
Radinsky Roland.
Yeah.
Example. Not exactly. But you know what I'm saying? But you meet people that are so similar in life and you're like, there's like 100 people.
My biggest fear is that when you die, like when I've thought about killing myself is I'm like, what if I just like, what if it's not over?
You just start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck!
Yeah. Yeah. But what if it's not over? Like, what if it's like you now you're just you in another zone?
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're
like
just the worst place.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah.
And that's why I wouldn't kill myself.
I just don't. I feel like it's like you just hold on as long as you can and you try and outlive your friends so that they go before you and it's less scary. I feel like it's just like going down a water slide. Like everybody will go and then it's not so scary. And then what, do you want to not go? No, you want to go.
Right.
Like if you died or even like that Helene died or that my dad died, the fact that my dad's dead is I'm like, oh, if he can do it, I can do it.
Right,
you know?
Right. And my grandfather's, he's ready.
Talk he's ready. Really?
Yeah.
What does he say?
He jokes. He's just like, make sure I'm up. Make sure I'm still alive when you get home. Stuff like that.
Wow.
He's ready, though. Curtains.
I wonder if you feel closer to death, the closer to death you get.
Yeah. I was thinking about that when my back hurt the other day. I was like, can I be old? I don't even know if I could be old.
Yeah, it hurts.
It was bad now. I'm 33, you know? Like, what when I'm 90?
My mom doesn't seem to be in that much pain.
I know, but it's like, what do you do to not to avoid
that? I think
that?
The stress goes down because you accept yourself.
Right.
We hate ourselves.
We're in a weird place. It's also this job.
Once you get old, you're like, why the fuck would I hate myself? I'm old.
But I don't even have time for it.
Yeah, we're in like a crux point where it's like, I still could be a cool old person.
I'm too busy hating the younger generation.
Yeah.
To hate myself.
Yeah.
I'm not as gay as they are.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's consistent in history.
Yeah. It will always be less gay.
Every generation's gayer than the last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's intense.
It is true. Which is fine.
At least they're being cool gay about it, the next generation.
Yeah, they're
Gen
great.
Zers.
Yeah, they're great.
The problem is as the gayness hits the next generation, our generation goes, oh, it's okay to be gay, and then we do it in a tacky way.
Right.
Like the Gen Zers know that being gay just means like being hot Harry Styles, whereas we're like, gay, I'll dye my hair pink and get really fat and call my dog Chumba, you know? You know what I mean? And be polyamorous.
Eat pop cupcakes.
Yeah.
Dude, the polyamory, you know what? We'll talk about it off mic.
Really?
I just don't want to. It's based on things we've seen at shows and stuff, and UFO. I don't know who listens to your podcast.
Who cares?
I'm just like, they are consistently
ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah.
But it's crazy.
Yeah.
I've noticed Swingers pretty hot.
Swingers hot. We met the Swinger couple. They were hot.
Open and Polyamory. It's like every single time.
Dude, they're ghouls.
They're, because in my mind, I'm a sheltered boy. I was like, there's obviously hot people out there doing this.
I know one very hot polyamorous person, but it's in LA.
In Portland, there was a couple.
Yeah. Because
they're so like sex positive. But outside of there, I swear to God, every single time someone comes up to you at the meet and greet and says they're open or polyamory, they are ghouls.
Let me, this is my take. If you are polyamorous and not in a relationship, you are hot. Once you get into a relationship, if you stay polyamorous, you're hot. Like, if you're like, my philosophy is I'm polyamorous, that's hot. If you are married and become poly, you're ugos.
That's because, that's why they do it.
That's why they do it.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's what I think. Because I know hot people that are like, I'm not dating anybody, but I'm poly. So when you start dating me, just accept that I'm poly. But ugly people are like, I need to fuck anybody that's not you.
You just find out what you look like. Like, you get married and you're like, yeah, me and my husband are swingers. They're like, you're polyamory.
Yeah. Damn it.
How ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I have to go.
All right. Sorry.
I love you.
All right. Love you too.